Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good morning, everybody. If you can hear it in my voice, let me get this music tag out of here. You can hear it in my voice. I have the, well, let's just call it, I'll keep it simple, the flu from hell. Okay, hit me on Tuesday, had to cancel shows yesterday, and we're going to get through today's show with COSET. I promise them that. My good pals Keith and Ann will be here. We're going to be talking about turning data into action, but I'm going to be a little slower. I might have turned my mic off from time to time for coughing purposes, but we're going to do it. We're going to archive the show over at education-talkradio.org, which is our website, and we're also going to tweet it out at EduTalkRadio. Please follow us. We just passed 2,600 followers. Thank you. I'm looking out there. Most of them are outside here, outside my window. I see. Hello there, out there. Okay, and that's in my delirium from the flu. I don't wish this on any of you. This was a bad flu, and it was just nuts. But not that I'm a complainer, of course, not me. All right, but at any rate, so we're going to tweet it out at EduTalk Radio, and I want to thank our good friends over at Lightspeed Systems, who I wish had a cure for the flu. Okay, that's what they should devote their life to. Lightspeed Systems helps schools engage students and improve education by delivering solutions that make 21st century learning safe, mobile, and collaborative, from smarter content filtering to mobile device management and the My Big Campus Safe Social Learning Platform. Lightspeed Systems is a true partner to schools, creating solutions that make it easier to manage the latest technology and meet students' and teachers' needs. Find out more about how Lightspeed can help you meet your goals and solve your challenges, lightspeedsystems.com. And I had a great time. I have to say, a couple of weeks ago, I was down in Florida, which is probably where I caught this flu from my friend Jacob down there. And I walked by, and Lightspeed Systems was there, and of all things, my good pal Amy Bennett. She and I have talked on the phone about 27,000 times, never met. She is the vice president of marketing over at Lightspeed Systems, and finally we were able to meet. And that was probably the high point, meeting Amy. Although everything was great down there at FETC, I just loved meeting Amy, and she's just terrific and reflective of the good people and the good quality products at Lightspeed Systems. Okay, now without further ado, in the snow, I'm going to bring on Keith Krueger, okay, and Ann Ware. First of all, ladies first. Hi, Ann.
Good morning, Larry. Sorry to hear that you're under the weather, excuse the pun, but at least you're not contagious to us.
Actually, I may be, because my friend Eric called me on Sunday. He was supposed to come over here and help me do some work. And he said he thought he was coming down from the flu with the flu.
Oh, no.
He was just over the phone. Okay, it was just over the phone, and then I got the flu. So this could be phone contagion.
Right. Hopefully right. Not.
Yeah, just a thought. If you get sick, contact my attorney immediately. Okay?
Absolutely.
And is the project director for COSET. And just in case you don't know what COSET is, perhaps, you've had your head in the sand. COSET is the Consortium for School Networking. It's the premier professional association for district technology leaders. They're located in sunny. Is it sunny down there today, right, Keith? Sunny, beautiful, balmy, 70?
Okay. Well, I think everything's south of you from Maine, but I'm actually in Nashville today for the AASA conference, and it is sunny here.
Right, and actually, that if you run into Jimmy, do you know Jimmy Minicello?
I don't, but I'll look for him.
Well, bump into him, find him, and tell him I said hello.
Okay. I'm co-presenting in an hour with Dan Dominich, their CEO.
Fantastic. So. That's just great. We're going to talk
about some of the things you're doing
with AASA.
We're doing some great things, including the work we're going to talk about today. But I apologize, I feel sorry that you have a cold. It seems like you've not only have a sickness cold, but you've imposed Maine coldness all across much of the United States, and it was a challenge getting here.
You probably know
by
my other name, Jack Frost. It's ridiculous. Nashville is clear, right? Nashville's okay?
It is clear today. Yesterday it was iffier. I was coming in from Raleigh, and it was an ordeal that I won't put you through. Almost as painful as you having the flu.
Oof. Bad. And where are you? We're 770.
I'm in Georgia, and we have snow and ice here in Georgia.
Yeah. Are you in the Atlanta area?
I'm about 70 miles east of Atlanta towards Augusta, and we've got probably, you know, a couple inches of snow, but we've got more ice than anything else. But we're warm inside, got the hot chocolate, everything's okay.
That's good, and just stay inside. Don't go outside and be brave, okay?
Absolutely.
Stay inside. Yeah, look at the snow. Pretend you're make a computerized snowman. Don't go out and...
That's great.
Okay, good enough. Now, we're going to talk about, you're going to be talking with Don at the AAA, Don at the AASA conference right now in Nashville. Okay, you can, AASA, by the way, is the American Association of School Administrators, okay, but it's the School Superintendents Association. That's what they should just call it, TSSA, the School Superintendents Association. Don, Keith, could you pass that over to them? There's an idea.
I will. I think they were ahead of you. That's what they just rebranded themselves as last year.
Yeah, and they just call themselves TSSA, the School Superintendent Association.
Okay, I'll tell Dan.
Yeah, just a thought. Okay, and you're working with them. Cosin is working with them, and Gartner Inc. called. By the way, I'm billing this as our Valentine's Day show. This show is called Turning Dating into Action. Is that correct? Turning Dating into Action.
Right. You're right on it.
Yeah, so this is our pre-VAP. By the way, happy Valentine's Day. Closing the gap, turning data into action. There you go, turning data into action. Okay, cool. So talk to me about this, closing the gap, okay? Talk to me what that is, okay, and why you're working with AASA on it.
Sure. I'll take a stab at it. Well over a decade when No Child Left Behind was starting out, you know, Cosin would ask superintendents or heads of technology or other people at the district level, how many of you are using data-driven decision-making? And, you know, a few hands went up, but it was pretty early on. And so we started a lot of work around the power of data. But to be very honest, much of it was focused on accountability. You know, what do you need to tell your principal? What do you need to tell the school district? What do you need to tell the states and the feds and maybe parents? Hopefully we'd get data to there. But there wasn't a lot of focus on kind of feeding back data to teachers and, I would say, even as important, students. How do we use data to inform instruction? And so about 3 years ago with AASA, we started conversations with the Gates Foundation and said, you know, we really need to shift the conversation to a new level, and that really needs to be about instructing, about using data for instruction. And they said, you know, you really ought to work with, we ought to flip the conversation from kind of traditional student information systems and content management systems to how do we use those existing systems or evolve them into much more powerful tools. And we ought to identify some districts that are really kind of lighthouses. I guess you have a lot of lighthouses in Maine. So that's okay. Really what we've been trying to do.
I'll make the jokes from now on, please. Is that okay?
It's your show. It's your nickel.
Yeah,
go ahead.
Totally kidding. But, yeah. All right. So, but help me with this, okay? And this is the one question I have, okay? Because I understand that part. We're going to get into it in more detail, okay? What does COSIN, this Consortium for School Networking, okay? And probably you can answer this, okay? What does that have to do with turning data into action? Help me out there. Put those two things together, Ann.
Sure. Well, as you probably know, COSIN provides support not only to the technology leaders at the district level, but even more so, COSIN understands the value of a district leadership team, if you will, around lots of things, one of which is, are we really utilizing data at the classroom level, and is it really informing what teachers and what students, as Keith just reflected, what they are doing, if you will. So that kind of syncs up with this work with the Gates Foundation, again, around what is actually happening to that data and how is it saying to a teacher or saying to a student, here's what I need to do next in regards to meeting a specific learning target or monitoring, you know, their own progress.
And can I just add one thing, Larry?
Please do.
COSIN's core audience has, of course, been what we generically call chief technology officers.
Right.
And one
right.
of the biggest trends that's out there is the possibility to use data analytics, which is made possible because of technology. And so the chief technology officer is critical to this conversation because if they don't understand that it isn't just about accountability, but it's about informing instruction, you buy a different kind of student information system, or you keep using the old one that you used to have and you don't enhance it, or you use that old, you're not leveraging the possibility of content management systems. So really it is about data analytics, I think, and that's made possible because of the power of technology. We've all seen that power, you know, if we go on Amazon.com or any of the other e-commerce sites. They predict sort of what you might be interested in and personalize the experience. And that's what we think is the power of technology to personalize learning.
So in other words, and actually that answer was really cool. It seems to me that if enough information is fed into the system, let's call it a learning management system or a student information system, whatever, if enough of the right information is put in there, just like with Amazon, okay, when they know exactly that I want to buy a new generator for the house or something, and all of a sudden generator ads pop up, all of a sudden, okay, without too much, well, I don't want to say this, right, without too much human thought behind it, and I mean this as a compliment, okay, all of a sudden it's going to say little Jimmy Jones, okay, needs help in geometry.
Precisely.
He's going to be able to ask
and in fact, and actually, Larry, if you think about what really engages kids outside of school, it's, you know, like something like a computer game. Well, that's using formative data constantly feeding back to the student. Well, they're just a kid having fun. But it starts everybody at level one. It takes you to level two as soon as you get level one. It keeps pounding you on level two until you get it, and then it moves you to level three. That's a high-performing learning system. That's what our goal and vision ought to be about learning today. And what that is providing feedback loops to the learner, and that's what we're missing so much in so many classrooms today.
And you know what scares me about this, Keith and Ann? I got to tell you, this is great thought, and this is good stuff, what you're talking about. And AASA and you guys, COSIN, working together to do this is absolutely fantastic, okay? And I love it. But what always scares me, okay, is that this stuff isn't coming out of schools of education, or maybe I'm missing something.
Right.
It's coming out of professionals in the field. And I always use the analogy to medical school. You know, stuff has to come out from the schools and research institutions, not from the professional associations. Okay, am I making sense?
I think you're right on. We need a feeder system, and our system it's not broke everywhere, but it's broke in most places.
Oh.
And that connection between training and getting people in the system. We shouldn't be retraining once people are in the system. It should be a continuous learning, but we're starting from a problem.
Well, it is a problem. We'll call it a challenge, but it has to come to an end at some point. It's just absolutely nuts. So now,
perhaps
how do they
crisis
train?
Is a better word.
You know, I was just. I don't know if you guys saw this 2 days ago, the New York Times. I'm from Philadelphia, and I went all through Philadelphia public schools, and they had a big article about the horrific state of the condition of Philadelphia public schools. It's just absolutely beyond comprehension. And I'm thinking to myself, you know, where's this going to wind up? This is terrible. Okay, if we don't start making changes and doing all this, and this is the kind of thing where if we pick these things up, where we're able to do it. Now, you mentioned lighthouses, and you feel free to join in here. Are there lighthouse districts? Is anybody doing this yet?
There are, Larry. There are those that are willing to be brave enough to step out there and say, maybe we're not doing it quite right, and maybe we need to think about this differently. And so through this work, Gartner, Inc., one of their roles in this process, one of many, was to identify six districts across our nation of all different sizes that were making progress with this. And so they identified six districts. Those are case studies that are available at turningdataintoaction.org. Many educators are familiar with the work of Gartner. I remember as a CTO, we really tried to utilize Gartner because they do such good research. And so those case studies that normally you have to pay for are now free, that were done by Gartner at turningdataintoaction.org. And then what Gartner did as a second level to that was that they, in talking with those districts, they came up with some key themes that kind of came out of their discussion and out of those case studies about how these folks were using data to inform instruction. And so what they did was that they developed 9 templates that are available, again, at turningdataintoaction.org. They're free to the K-12 community.
I'm on that site right now, by the way. Yeah.
Yeah. If you look under resources, they're there. And those templates are kind of like a help you jumpstart your thinking about this work. I remember as a CTO, if you didn't have these kinds of resources, you're really kind of trying to figure it out on your own. And so Gartner is accelerating that and providing those templates. And so I'd like to talk just about a couple of them. There's 9 of them there, and they're all free. One of them is called an Instructional Data and Collection and Use Plan. So it's about what kind of data do you want to collect that really has an influence on what goes on in a classroom. So that's there and can be downloaded and filled in for the district that's interested in using it. There's a readiness activity planner, so it's like a checklist about some of the, here's the things that have really shown to provide district success and how they go about aligning that work with a district's maybe strategic plan or maybe their school improvement plan. That's there. And then, of course, we know that funding is always part of the equation, many times the elephant in the room. They provide an implementation, like a cost planning guide that helps to identify various components that you want to think about when you're looking at a data system that, again, will influence what goes on in the classroom. And they even have a template there that's in Excel that helps you figure out what those costs are. So that's just 3 of those 9 templates. I remember looking at these and thinking to myself, as a former CTO, I wish I'd had these kind of resources previously.
Where were you a CTO at?
Here in Georgia at a large school district and then at the Georgia State Department of Education.
Oh, wow. That's cool. I did not know that. That is excellent, I got to tell you. Okay? Let me ask you this, okay? And Keith, chime in here too, all right? And you can ask Don this today. I'm, like, losing it with my head. This is going nuts here. Okay? But talk to me about this. This is a major thing. If you really get involved in the school district and get this happening, which I think is a great idea, okay? But what's worrisome about it is, and you know this as well as I do, there's always been, and it's worse now than ever, I think, is the turnover in school district leadership. Superintendents aren't staying long enough to make things happen. And I always use the analogy, all right, when I was a kid, literally every single one of my report cards from grade 1 through 11 was signed by the same superintendent. I don't know how many years he was there before that. That was a guy named Alan Wetter, okay? And now you're lucky if a superintendent stays for 3 years. And this is
right.
A huge project, okay? And it's a great project. It's something that needs to be done, but the leadership has to stick it out. And well, what's your thought on that? And, again, please don't misunderstand. I love AASA, and I understand all the factors that go into this, but it's so hard to get stuff done.
I think you're right on target, and therefore, if the average superintendent is, only there, 2.5-3 years, and in large districts, it's more, at least a few years ago, it was only 18 months. I mean, you can get so little done. Certainly it can't just be the superintendent, but it has to start with the superintendent. And you need to create a system that everybody understands where you're going, and it has to be sustainable beyond when, no one person, whether it's the CTO or the superintendent or the head of instruction, can own it all. Everyone's got to see the power. And let me also say the one thing we didn't talk about yet today, and that is although school districts are drowning in data of their own. There's lots of other data that, that can be matched in that, that, you know, whether it's census data or other information that's available. And matching that up helps you more understand the student, their, what their, you know, and that, of course, raises all kinds of other challenges for school systems as people are fearful of, you know, how we talk about this. And what we do to protect privacy and security is critical. There's a heightened concern, and it's almost exploded this past year on the front page of the paper about, you know, and therefore you see reactions in some communities and some state legislatures to say, you know, we're not going to allow big data. We're not going to, you know, and what they don't understand is that may stop us from getting to a much more personalized learning system. And what the better way to do is that we get to a system that there's confidence that data is being protected and used in appropriate ways.
Is there a dog in your room?
There isn't anymore.
Oh, was that your doggie, Ann?
It was. She's barking at
okay.
the snow.
That's okay. What is her name? His name and her name. What's the dog's name?
Her name right now is Lucy. It's going to be trouble if she doesn't stop.
I don't want to be responsible for this. We love dogs. Dogs are always welcome. Okay?
I think Ann's breaking your rule
actually,
that
I was
you get to make the jokes.
I was wondering. I thought that dog was in Keith's hotel room. I'm thinking, why would he bring his dog with him?
It's a fancy hotel, and they allow dogs here.
Yeah, it's like Dilbert. You know, Dilbert, you bring Dogbert with you wherever you go, and I'm very impressed. I'm very impressed with that. Okay, this is really, really good stuff that you guys are doing. Now, you're going to give your speech in a few minutes, okay, half an hour or so, right, whatever time the speech is, okay, and you're going to do that. Now, so talk to me about the essence of the speech. The essence of the presentation.
Well, first of all, it's an interactive conversation. So we have the superintendent of the year, Mark Edwards from Mooresville School District in outside of Charlotte. They're a North Carolina district. And it's an interesting, actually fascinating district where, in fact, President Obama went to visit when he launched last June the Connect Ed vision. And the reason that Mark is on the panel is to talk about how they've changed the culture, and part of that is providing powerful data that is actionable to teachers and to students so that everyone knows what their learning progression is. And so that's part of it. We also have Amy Guidera, who's head of the data quality campaign, and she's going to talk about the policy context. She focuses more at a state level, and as we started the conversation today, we talked about, you know, there's been this huge policy environment since, for now, you know, almost well over a decade, at first at the federal level with No Child Left Behind, and state level accountability sorts of issues. And how do we shift that conversation to say it's not just about accountability, but it's about using this data really at the classroom level and at the individual level to really help them on their learning path.
And how does it get down to the classroom? Oh, I'm sorry. How does it get down to the classroom?
No, I'm done.
Yeah, thank you, Keith. How does that get down there to the classroom?
Sure. One of the examples, Larry, that provides from the mouths of babes, if you will, is we have a video at turningdataintoaction.org of a middle school student here in Georgia who talks about when we think about what's happening at the classroom level, she talks about how she uses data on a regular basis and the system that she's using. And one of the key things that I learned from her is when she looked at me and she said, I like to keep tabs on myself. So here we have a young person that recognizes at the middle school level how important having access, regular access, to how well she's doing and where she's rocking and rolling in education and where she's got to put a little more effort in.
In fact, when Superintendent Mark Edwards talks about it. He always talks about he was in a classroom and this, I think it was a third grader, was talking about a project they were working on, and he said, and they were showing on a chart, you know, what he had learned and what he needed to learn. And Mark said, well, you know, do you think you're going to get there? Do you think you're going to own it? And he said, oh, yeah, I'm going to get there. No way. I absolutely. I know where I have to go. I know what I need to know. And the superintendent, Mark, responded and said, well, you're certainly going to get an A on that. And he said, no, I'm not. And Mark said, well, why? And he said, well, because this isn't for a grade. I just want to learn this.
Wow.
Wow. Amazing, isn't it? So talk to me then as
right.
a teacher. Now, there's one cog. We've talked about administrators. We've talked about CTOs. Okay, we talked about students. Okay, and now the teachers. Okay, how's the information? What's the anecdotal information for the teachers? Anne, I'll swing back to you.
Okay, thank you, Larry. Well, we all know in order to utilize data effectively, teachers need to know, you know, how to go about doing that, that best fits what they do and what they're good at, and that's working with children. And so as a part of this work with Closing the Gap, we developed a professional development toolkit, again, available at turningdataintoaction.org, that provides brief, quick professional learning around utilizing this data. Some of the areas that we talk about in that toolkit is the role of professional learning communities, the role of these practices that we know produce good results in kids being successful. Keith talked about them earlier today, that being formative assessment and feedback. And so that toolkit provides insights to learn teachers about how they can utilize those practices. So it's about connecting the dots between the practices that teachers know produce results and how data can further enable those practices. And so we would ask the audience to check out that toolkit at turningdataintoaction.org.
And let me just say, Larry, that we are not saying that data replaces a teacher. In fact, quite the opposite. This is about really making teachers more powerful and effective.
And, of course.
And, yeah. And so this should not be either we need good data or we need teachers. It's quite that we're never going to get there unless teachers are really on a continuous path and have that kind of powerful data that they can take action on.
That's very true. And, you know, we always say that whenever something new comes up in education, we always say, now that we're going to put our hands up, this isn't going to eliminate teachers or anything like that. You know, something, and I love teachers. I was one for years. Okay, but it's at some point, I was a teacher for years, taught social studies. Yeah, outside of Philadelphia. Yeah, so my class was the best class gone.
Of course it was.
Right.
But I suspect, Larry, when you were in the class, although you know, a great teacher always tries to understand where their individual students are, but when you have 25, 30 students, you still have to sort of to the whole class, you're teaching to the average. And what
That's
the power right. of data does is it allows us to more personalize instruction for each student. And
that's right.
Some kids move faster and they get bored. Our best students are bored. Some kids are slower and take longer on a particular concept. And so we don't want to teach to the average. We want to teach to the individual.
That's right. Teaching needs to evolve and change. And you know, we don't have to worry, okay, that we're going to insult teachers. There may come a time when there's going to be less teachers because we have more technology or something. But the purpose of teaching is to make sure kids learn, okay? The profession isn't teaching. The professor is making sure kids learn. Okay, and the best way to do that, and we're always so worried about that, and we got to get over that. What you said, you know, we really do like teachers. Of course, you like teachers. You love teachers. Okay, they're the backbone.
Well,
of the whole
thing. Think that, but Larry, we have to be honest that the unfortunate aspect of the accountability mantra has been that teachers view data as something that is going to threaten their job, that they could lose their job on, that principals could lose their job. I mean, this does happen, and it is that it will be used against them. And that's not a healthy system. And you need
No, that's not a healthy
system.
That's not a healthy attitude.
It's not to say you don't need accountability, but fundamentally, we ought to be about creating the best learning possible and creating the best work environment for teachers to make that possible. And data ought to be their friend. It shouldn't be looked at as something to hammer them down.
Exactly. And, I agree with you 100%, Keith. I really do. I mean, it's just, you know, they see that and they feel threatened. I'm stereotyping. They feel threatened and they feel like the world's coming down on them. That's not the case. Things change over the course of time. And, you know, a classic example of that, I always use medicine, is, you know, now all of a sudden physicians, the nurse practitioners, you know, are out there. And nurse practitioners do a great job. They're not MDs, but they do a great job.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And so things change. That doesn't threaten the doctor. We still need doctors. Things change.
You know? Right. And I think that the role of the superintendent or the principal, you know, and the school board and the CTO
needs
to say, you know, we need to really signal how we're going to use data and why this is important, and that it's an expectation that we know where kids are today so that we can move them faster and deeper into the learning.
And we said at the beginning, it's like Amazon, okay? And they know they're starting to look and see what you need, okay? And they're alert to it before you are, okay?
Right.
It's a little Big Brotherish, but that's not the point. The point is it works.
Well, and honestly, there are lots of, as I alluded to earlier, privacy concerns. But some of this formative data, I mean, we don't really it's not like big government or big school systems need to sit there and look through all the data. The formative data just needs to get to the learner and the teacher.
Exactly.
And
And
we have to, you know, it's not like, you know, Mark Edwards is going to be sitting there with some governor looking over your individual students at every moment, every time.
Yes.
So we have to set, you know, more realistic understanding and policies around what kind of data we're really using at a system level. But we need to get that much more constant feedback to the individual, to the learner.
And what I always say, we're all concerned about privacy. Welcome to the age of Twitter, where every move we make, okay, every move we make, we have to announce to the world, but we're concerned about privacy. Okay, data works. Data works, okay, and if we apply it properly, it works great. It works
You'll
great.
You'll love it, Larry. Exactly, I just, in the middle of this thing, tweeted out that we're on this program.
Oh, thank you. I love that. Privacy. Oh, wait, here comes the IRS. They're auditing. Oh, wait, they got the audit patrol out. I saw them pull up. Okay. Hey, this was great, guys. We're gonna leave now because I'm starting to run out of breath, okay, from my flu. All right? But this was great.
Feel
you're
better.
You're going to give a great speech. Are you going to do the thing where you pull the like the dove out of the hat and the rabbit out of the hat?
Well, it flies out, but not out of my hat.
It'll get their attention.
Larry, you're the happiest sick person I've ever heard.
I'm telling you. Well, this is the first conversation I've actually had with living human beings in 3 days, and this is absolutely wonderful. And I think I'm sounding like I'm starting to lose it. So I love you guys. Thank you so much. Be careful.
Thank you
there.
For having
Don't
us.
Go outside and slip on your tushy. Okay, be careful out there.
Have some time.
Bye-bye. Thanks so much.
And go listen to that good music down there in Nashville. Thanks, Keith.
I will do. Okay, bye.
Okay, bye, guys.
Bye-bye.
Oh, well, as you can tell, I'm a blithering idiot. They're great. Thank you for saving my life today. Okay, this flu is no fun, I got to tell you. Hey, Lightspeed Systems sponsored today's show. Lightspeed, as you know, is they're just a great company. Check it out. Okay, they make things work for your school district, Lightspeed Systems. I also always like to mention when we talk about school networking, check out a great consulting firm, Funds for Learning, fundsforlearning.com. Okay, so lightspeedsystems.com, funsforlearning.com. You'll check it out. Keith, thanks a million. You can hear me, my voice starting to fade here. Okay, Ann, thanks a million. Jennifer, thanks for setting this up. This was great. Keith, I hope you give a great speech down there in Nashville at AASA. Tell my friend Jimmy at AASA I said hello. Okay, we're going to archive the show at education-talkradio.org. We're going to tweet it out at EduTalkRadio. My name is Larry Jacobs, and I'm fading, so I'll talk to you later.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.